Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. Today by the side of pond, I thought we could have a nice little moment fishing together quietly.
That sounds amazing. Have you noticed how huge these blades of grass are? And actually, how big they normally are in video games.
I was just about to say, a lot of things in games are actually huge if you look at them.
Has there ever been a game that had appropriately sized grasses that wasn't just a flat texture? Like that did the blades but had them teeny tiny? Surely not. Be impossible.
I don't know. I can't think of better. One. I know in general, like, it kind of blew my mind when I realized that everything is huge in, like, Breath of the Wild. Like, if you actually pay attention to the size of the plants you're harvesting, like, when there's just, like, a flower or something, they're almost as tall as Link.
Ginormous. Yeah, it's one of those things you have to kind of, like, try to not notice, because in certain games, it's obviously there's a good reason for it. But I think in one of the videos they did about Mario, it was like the coffee cups were like the size of like, they were like 2 feet across. But like until you notice it, you don't notice it, you know? It's a weird thing.
I've definitely seen a video or something that explained like everything is a little bit big in games because if they make them the right size, it just seems too small for some reason.
Yep. You can't see anything. It's hard to navigate, especially with like doorways, hallways.
Yeah, doors are always like twice the height of a character.
Yes.
And you truly don't notice. You don't think about it.
Except in Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. I did a video about that house and it is all appropriately sized and it's really weird feeling. It's like claustrophobic, I think, in a way that was intentional. But yeah, you really just don't realize that, you know, until somebody points it out. But it showed, like, I did a side-by-side of the doors in that Call of Duty versus the ones in the previous, and it's, like, comical how gigantic the doors are in this otherwise
if you actually
realistic, quote-unquote, video game. Funny stuff.
It's such a weird thing. I wonder, like, why that is psychologically.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to just be because you don't have peripheral vision, right, in a game. So you don't, like, and no spatial awareness.
Yeah.
You only have eyeballs. So in real life, a door being the size of you is not that big a deal because you can kind of sense it, like with all of your senses and your peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a door, if you make it that size in a video game, you don't have any of that stuff. So then suddenly
it
feels
you're
like
just
everything's
kind of,
really close.
Yeah, I mean, you're more clumsy in a game than you are in real life.
Way more.
Because
you're
doing everything through little buttons. I guess, you know, it depends on your gamer skills.
And also, relative to the amount of time you've spent, I mean, think of how much time you spent practicing walking through doors and walking, moving your arms, fingers.
Right, I do it every day still.
Days on end.
To make sure that I don't, you know, you got to keep your skills sharp.
If you did the same in a video game, you'd probably be a pro. You will have gotten good.
You think I should do, like, aim training?
What is that? Oh, like where they like shoot that, shoot this, go left, right, and like that type of stuff.
Do you think I could get really good at games if I tried? Sometimes I think I'm just,
you know,
I just wasn't born for that life.
I sometimes wonder, because, you know, people get old when they're like, if you talk like 45-year-olds, because now
not
there's like 50-year-old gamers or whatever, right, who've been doing it. Not you, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just can't do it anymore. And I'm like, is that because, I mean, you are going to get worse at things, but like, could I, with effort, become the greatest, you know, Smash Brothers player in the world? Or is there, you know, how much of it is genetic? Is gamer
skills? Are you genetically predisposed to being good at Smash?
Yeah.
I definitely didn't get that gene then.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I can barely move around
like
in the real world.
Like, do you have a high skill? Oh, go ahead.
You ever just walk around your house that you walk around every single day and still, like, run your shoulder really hard into a door frame?
Yeah, sometimes. But I feel like that I can tell when I'm in that mood where I'm going to be. And I could put in effort to not be that way. But I'm just,
you can tell when you're kind of in a bumbling around type of mood.
Yes, middle of the night,
just
sometimes
like
it happens.
Just
obviously
a falling around type of vibe today.
Yeah, you know, just clumsing into stuff.
I'm glad it's not just me.
Are you good at like pop quizzes?
Oh God, do you have one for me?
It's a one question pop quiz. This is a meme pop quiz. Okay. I'm gonna make the noise that a meme has, and you gotta tell me what meme it's from.
No, yeah, I love memes. So
I'm gonna give you a clue. This is an old school one. This is so old that we probably wouldn't have called it a meme. We would have called it a viral video, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
Get ready. All right. Make sure you... Do you have the music down in the game still so you can really hear this?
My attention is 100% on you right now.
Okay.
Give
ready?
Me the meme.
I'm just going to make the noise. Give me just one second. Yeah? Any guesses? I could do it again if you want.
Is that... Okay, Buzz... Is that the blobfish?
Okay. No, it's not the blobfish. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to add a couple more little sounds that may not get picked up, I guess, by Discord, but they'll be in the recording, I suppose. Maybe I'll make them with my mouth so that you can kind of probably hear them.
How else would you?
And then I'll try it again. Okay, ready? Any guesses?
No idea.
All right. I don't want to...
You said this is an old-style meme.
Again, I would call it a viral video. Right. This is the type of shit that would have been on, like, Ellen in 2009.
Oh, my God. I'm only thinking of, like...
Okay.
Wasn't there some video of a fish making a moan like that? I can't remember.
Maybe. It's not that. All right. I'm going to reveal it to you, and we'll see if you know this one. And if not, you should look it up. It is... The peanut butter baby.
Oh,
you remember the peanut butter baby?
Where classic.
He looks at the camera and he goes, "Ugh."
he's covered in peanut butter.
Yeah, absolute classic.
Yeah. Oh my God!
All right, well that's
it's so
congratulations.
Crazy.
Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you for that. That was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder where the peanut butter baby is now.
I'm trying to bring
now.
My A game today.
You know, yeah, thank you. Because I'm a little bit out of it. I'm so busy today. I have so many tasks.
Don't you literally leave for Japan in like 24 hours?
Less, yeah. Tomorrow.
Really? God damn.
Very early in the morning. So this episode will be posted while I'm in Tokyo. Just a little.
So everyone say hi,
Tokyo
Mem.
And conveniently also, this is the first episode to be edited by our new podcast editor.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. What's their name?
Jump Scare.
I need...
Ethan.
Whoa. Sorry. I couldn't help myself from laughing at doing such a rude noise. I was thinking of... the first Ethan I ever knew was Ethan from the TV show Lost. And that's the noise you made when you learned about Ethan from Lost and you watched that show. So another... reference
wow,
and I
that was
understand.
So
but,
rude.
What's up, Ethan? How's it going?
Ethan,
I believe in you.
We love you. Thank you.
Well, I haven't met the guy, all right?
Well, I'm very grateful to have a podcast editor because...
Where is Ethan?
Ah!
Sorry.
Where, physically?
Yeah, like what part of the world?
He's actually in Canada, I believe.
Really? Where, Canada? Vancouver, British Columbia? Ethan, put it up on the screen, would you? Just your city.
Oh my
Thank
God.
You.
Let's not make him
now
do extra
knows.
Things.
Why not? Isn't what that is for?
I've already gone on and on about how easy it is to edit the podcast, and I want to keep that true.
I mean, that's less work than you normally would do. You would do more work than just putting that stuff up, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to make somebody else do it. Anyway,
what?
This is just one of many ways that I've begun to actually, like, take my job seriously, if you can believe it.
Good. I love that.
I've been doing things such as actually answering my emails.
Really? Who's emailing you?
I mean, everybody. Everybody wants me these days, you know? Companies.
Yeah, people just being like, hey, will you sell crypto?
I actually had a call with Twitch this morning.
Oh, yeah, really?
Because I guess...
Are they going to fast track you?
Kind of. I got a guy that is helping me now, I guess. Because I guess they noticed that I had a lot of viewers as soon as I started, of course, because I'm so famous and everybody came over immediately. Not really.
Yes.
I only have like maybe 200 peak viewers on Twitch right now, but I guess that was enough for them to be like, whoa.
I mean, starting from zero, yeah. They're definitely I guess I don't know much about like the wider Twitch ecosystem, but you got to imagine that they would love to scrape off some of that YouTube success, you know, because Twitch isn't very good at like discovery for like new people. And so the only way they can really bring in these big creators.
That's like the huge leg up that Twitch has over YouTube Live is YouTube Live has zero discovery at all. Like you basically can only see the lives of people that you're subscribed to. But Twitch actually has like live browsing just functions.
Live just has a really bad like discoverability compared to just YouTube as like whatever. So you scraping those people over, I imagine, is gotta be pretty good for them. Well, that's good. They're gonna start paying you.
I mean, they're not paying me any more than I just already earn on the lives, which is not the reason I even do lives.
I thought you weren't
anyway,
partnered yet.
I got affiliate pretty quick. I guess there's different stages of monetization. Partner takes a little
partner
bit longer.
Partner means, and you can't stream, you can't co-stream, right, on partner or whatever.
Yeah, I guess
partner
so.
Partner is like, well, you get more money, but you're only on Twitch.
Oh, no, I don't think that's a thing. I think they changed.
Right, I don't know what I'm talking about at all. Yeah, so who's your favorite Twitcher?
My favorite Twitcher right now is Squeaks. And every time I say his name, you go, who the hell is that?
Yeah. I just have never really engaged with Squeaks. I've seen Squeaks' face.
Everybody's got a funny little username on Twitch. And I just have my name.
It does feel that way.
Maybe I should come up with a funny little name.
No, because then you would be behind the times.
It's way
You're
too
ahead
late.
Of the times now. You are the new meta.
Yeah, exactly. I just used my full name because of a really intelligent future branding strategy, and not because I'm just stupid.
Exactly. You're locked in from birth. You came out locked in.
Exactly. I came out with my stage name already.
That's right.
That everybody still thinks is a username anyway.
Are you finding it fun to take your job seriously?
Yeah, you know, it makes me feel more like a normal person to actually communicate with others instead of just hide and ignore all my messages.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's kind of nice to talk to people. This guy from Twitch was very kind and gave me some tips and said...
Yeah?
He said I could contact him if I want to be on the front page, which sounds like a horrible, terrifying idea.
Wait a second. You just got to call him? That's kind of sick. No, that's awesome. It's just like a who you know kind of a industry, I guess. So I think that's cool.
Well, Twitch is interesting.
Like, call me. You want me on the front page? Give me a ring.
Twitch is interesting because their front page is still human curated. Like, YouTube left that behind long ago. Like, you remember when YouTube, a person was picking what was on the front page of YouTube?
I honestly don't remember that at all. So
that was a thing.
I'll take your word for it.
And so I don't know how often they did it, if it was every day or every week or what, but it used to be that like the front page of YouTube was just that somebody at YouTube, their job was to pick the things on the front page.
Huh. I guess it's just different. Just like having a curated thing is different than having it be chosen by like popularity or whatever.
It is definitely odd for Twitch to still be doing that because every other website has moved to like an algorithm that depends on your personal taste. So it is kind of crazy that they still have people picking what just shows up to everybody on the whole platform, like regardless
of interest.
I kind of
like that. You should do it.
Yeah. The problem is that a lot of people that get on the front page that are lesser known immediately get a lot of unwelcome attention.
You can take it. Just put on a vest.
Because it's absurd how it, like, it inflates your numbers like crazy because I think people just being on the front page counts as a viewer number for your stream. So if you're on there, you, like, automatically have, like, 10K viewers or something.
How do they do advertising?
On Twitch?
If that's the case. Yeah, like, how do they count what is a viewer then? And what... Oh, I guess that's probably a whole other...
thing,
but I'm just curious because every time I've gone on Twitch, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch a Twitch stream, and then it's like 7 minutes of ads. It's a lot of ads before a Twitch stream.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of ads.
Get them
That's
all out of the way. You know,
complaint with Twitch.
But that does kind of imply that they're not making that much money from the ads, which is why they'd have to run so many. Well, and so I'd just be curious, because it's got to be really complicated.
I've learned since I got affiliate.
To sell ads on a platform like that.
Yeah, I have no insight on how they do it as far as, like, if it depends on viewer numbers. I'm sure it does. But I learned since becoming an affiliate that the streamer actually has, like, less control over the ads than you would think. Like, if I think right now, I have it to not show ads during the stream so it won't be interrupted. But I'm not able to turn off pre-roll ads in that case. So it's like I either have to run like so many minutes of ads in an hour that will interrupt the stream for people, or it's required that I have pre-rolls on, which means before you even get to start watching my stream, you have to watch like 2 or 3 minutes of pre-rolls. Which is a little bit crazy.
I think
because
that sounds fun.
How would you... Well, it makes it harder for people to discover new people, because if you click on a new person's stream and you immediately have to watch minutes of ads...
But then you can do the thing where you're like, we'll be back after these messages, and you can click it, right? And just run them.
Yeah, so
as long
I
as
might,
you do that often enough.
Because I have to take pee
funny.
Breaks and stuff anyway,
that.
So I might experiment with running them myself. But it is actually kind of crazy, like... I think YouTube Live still allows you to just completely have no ads if you want. I think I do have pre-rolls on those. But
but YouTube's pre-rolls are
Twitch
so...
Twitch kind of forces
I know people
you
complain
to have...
About them.
You have to have some kind of ads on Twitch.
Does Twitch even have skippables? Or is it... Because I don't think I've ever seen an ad that like was skip after 5 seconds. Yeah.
No.
YouTube's really got that ad shit. Like, I know they were the first people to it with AdSense, but like they've got that stuff pretty unlocked. Like,
yeah.
It's very consistent and predictable and relatively unobtrusive. I say that as someone who's got premium, but it feels like it's not. I barely ever notice. I don't see any ads at all. But yeah,
have I asked you before how you feel about streaming? Have we talked about this?
Not on the pod.
Because you've
not
streamed
in a while.
Like a couple times.
I think it's a cute idea. I like the doing it's fun. It's kind of a lot of setup. If I had a setup for it that was more like set up already, you know. But I also just don't... I feel like a lot of the Twitch culture stuff I end up seeing, I'm just not that into the vibe of it.
I mean, it's like any social platform. It completely depends who you're watching. There's all different kinds of people on there with all different kinds of vibes.
I'm only getting whatever like the whatever your top people are like, and I'm getting it through like random clips on YouTube Shorts or whatever. So I'm seeing like whoever that girl is with the little face, and then there's the the guy with the cockroaches that we've spoken of before.
Yes.
I'd see like those people, like these, and every time I see them, I'm like, this is not.
Yeah, I
a
mean,
good vibe.
I can't
so
say
I'm kind of poisoned.
I can't say that I watch anybody, and maybe I just haven't found one that I like. But I can't say I watch anybody that has like those kinds of numbers.
Yeah,
it's interesting who rises to the top, and it's like. Incomprehensible to me as a streamer to think of having 20 or 30,000 people watching your stream at the same time.
It's pretty nuts.
Like, I actually can't imagine. It sounds terrifying.
Yeah. But I like the, like, streaming is a cool idea. If I streamed, I would probably do it on YouTube because, like you said, it's just a little bit less, annoying ads, I guess, is really the whole thing. It's like it's an ecosystem I'm familiar with. So.
Yeah.
But I think it's a fun idea. It just takes a lot of time.
I'm actually working on, because you said like it's better if you have a permanent setup. That's absolutely true. Like the way to do it is to have everything set up so that you just like sit down and push go and you're live.
Yeah.
Which I don't have right now. I set up like a tripod and my laptop and I plug everything in every time
so
I stream
annoying.
Right now. However, I have ordered some things. I'm actually looking at the boxes right now. I'm going to have to put it together when I get back from my trip. But I've ordered some things to make an apparatus of sorts for my stream.
So you're gonna be like one of those people. Like a ring light and the things and the keyboard and monitors.
Yes, seven monitors. I'm going to have enough monitors for each chatter, actually, in the future. Sorry, I disconnected.
Whoa, that would be awesome. You should have a tier. If you are a certain tier of sub, a whole monitor dedicated just to your comments. So all I see is yours. Personal connection.
Anyway,
in fact, I'll give you my phone number. You can call me during the stream.
Hang on, I gotta fix the camera. Ethan, cut this out. Make it seamless.
Oh yeah.
Hang on.
I forgot.
I gotta get you.
Well,
back
maybe
where
not
I had
though.
You
but
before.
If what if it's funny?
So you gotta fix yourself too, or like was I on the other side of you?
I'm standing in the same
place.
Okay.
It's my fault.
I haven't moved at all except until you just moved my ass right there. What the hell?
Okay, it's my fault. Okay, I was like here.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Okay, what was I saying? I got a little. Because my problem is I don't really have room in this room next to the sofa to like set up a permanent setup. So I have a little like rolly cart that I'm going to attach everything to. And I got
like at the ER.
Exactly.
Yeah, the thing.
No, that's actually
that's
so
really
relevant
good.
Because
I like that a lot.
When I was looking for little rolly carts with like electrical plugs in them, everything was for like nurse stations.
Huh. Well, that's a great way to do it. You got to take inspiration from where you can.
But the idea is that
really
I plug the cart into the wall and then everything is
and
plugged
everything
into the cart.
And everything just powers up.
And I'm going to attempt to attach a like a laptop stand and a tripod for the camera to the cart.
Where are you going to put this cart when it's not in use?
And then I'm going to roll it into the closet. When I'm not streaming.
It's going to fit?
Yeah.
Because I'm picturing quite
it's
a behemoth.
Small. I know. It sounds like a beast.
It sounds huge.
But
it sounds like Optimus
small.
Prime.
I think it's going to be okay. It's going to look like kind of a technological Frankenstein. What would you say? Homunculus?
Ooh, that's a good word. You don't
I do.
Hear those
I like
types
the word
of
homunculus.
What do they call those? 10-cent words or whatever?
And
2-cent words?
In my mind, a homunculus is like a... Like this cart is like a combination of a bunch of stuff to make some kind of beastly creature. But then I looked it up and on Wikipedia it says homunculus just means any like it's an artificial human is what it's supposed to be. And so it comes from like when people were doing alchemy, like creating and trying to create an artificial person.
Like Frankenstein type shit.
Yeah. So I guess.
But older.
Yeah, you could say Frankenstein is a homunculus, but I don't know if it necessarily means what I think it means, which is like connecting a bunch of things together to make a being. But that's, in my mind, that's what it should be. That's what it sounds like when you say the word.
Yeah.
It's
and,
a very
and it
good
needs
word.
To be a little lumbering, a little bit too big for its clothing.
Exactly.
You know
a
mean?
Little bit awkward.
Like the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so I'm, as I told you before, but I'll tell the viewers now, at some point, the pod might be a little short because I have to go pick up Ashton from the airport. Mm-hmm. Can we just do it? You know how we normally end the episode and it just ends, right? What if as soon as I get the notification that it's time to do that, I just hang up on you and don't say anything?
Sure.
All right, that's what I'm going to do. So it's just suddenly
going to
stop.
I won't be offended.
Yeah, but I'm not even going to say goodbye is what I'm saying.
I accept.
I'm an Irish goodbye from my own podcast.
I accept the challenge. Okay. I did want to say, I don't know what happened last episode, but I cut it down. You'll notice it's like a little bit less than an hour, and we recorded for like at least an hour 15. Because something must have been in the air. We rehashed like 4 or 5 of the same exact conversations that we've had before.
Wait, which ones?
We've
I don't remember doing that at all. I don't even remember saying, have we talked about this before?
We've already talked extensively about 9/11. So I cut that one short. I just cut them all short a little bit. So I did, you know, we repeated stuff, but I cut out a little bit of the rambling because I guess we've already reached the point of having a podcast together where we have nothing more to say and we're just saying the same shit again.
That's why we're going on to listener questions. We're going to just start doing every episode. It's just going to be 20 listener
questions
in a row.
And somebody commented too that like you definitely already knew that I went to an Ivy League and we were stuck on that for a while. So
no, I didn't know that. That was new information to me. I knew you went to UPenn.
Yes.
I didn't know UPenn was an Ivy League. Okay. I didn't know. Also, I didn't know that I was. Somebody in the comments said I was doing a podcast with a. What did they say? I don't know. Didn't matter. But it's a podcast, an Ivy League. Not minority, but like because you did your race reveal as well.
Yeah.
And they had some funny way of saying that. And I was like, oh my God, it's an honor.
I believe you. I believe you.
Well, you shouldn't, but thank you. I don't even believe myself.
Right, but I also have a horrible memory, so we're just the two dumb bitches at brunch saying exactly to each other. That's what it is.
That's the pod.
That
in another life, that's the name of the pod. Two dumb bitches at brunch. It's me and you. The irony is not lost on me of cutting down repetitive stories for a podcast for which we don't even like title or thumbnail them with like any, like we haven't put together all of the everything. So I like the idea of like the cutting it down for retention, even though it's like the most non-retentive pod ever.
I appreciate you using not? We in this situation when it is me that makes every title and thumbnail.
No, it's the royal we. The royal we.
Well, I'm catching your drift.
Though. We're on a team.
I'm catching your subtle criticism here of the way that I run this
listen,
show.
Listen, Ethan, just cut that out. We don't want any or what's the word? Whatever, doesn't matter.
I hope every time we say Ethan cut that out, it remains in the pod. That's what I hope.
Most of the time it should. It's a good test for him to know when we're being serious versus when we're kidding.
It's like a psychological test.
Because I feel like if we really needed it, it'd be like, Ethan, seriously, listen to me. That cannot be in the episode. That can't. You cannot put that in.
No,
we have
that,
to like get real
see,
serious.
That's a joke too.
But that's a joke. That's the problem.
It's a joke that you're being so serious in that case.
Yeah.
So I think it's safe to just leave everything in.
We'll play with it. I mostly agree, especially 9/11 stories.
Have you ever met a celebrity?
Many. Haven't we talked about this on the pod? I feel like we've talked about this.
Wait. You're so right. Wait. I'm sorry.
It was like recently, too,
because
I was talking about this.
Ethan, cut that out for real.
I was about to say, can I talk about one thing that a piece of media I consumed before we go on to listener questions?
Yes. This is humiliating.
So, and the only time I ever watch anything or read anything or do anything aside from work is if Ashton's out of town, because then I start bumbling around the house. So I finally watched the movie Scarface. You know about this movie? Say hello to my little friend. You know that movie?
Wait, like recently you've watched that? When?
Yesterday or 2 days ago or
yesterday.
Something.
Because I have seen you like posting about Scarface for like weeks.
Yes. I've been posting about it as though I've been watching it, but I just watched it the other day.
I was actually going to ask you if there's some kind of Scarface revival happening because like I've seen kids walking around with Scarface t-shirts. I'm like, is it like a meme or something? Is it coming back?
Tony Montana he's an icon for sure. Maybe you're having a little bit of what is it, confirmation bias or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a revival happening. Maybe it's in the collective subconscious.
I have not seen it. I don't know what. Tell me about it.
It is. Listen, I actually thought I loved it. I absolutely loved it. You know how people always make movies about like bad people, but then they make them seem really cool, and you're like, oh, I want to be like that bad person. Scarface is ostensibly one of those movies about like a guy you're not supposed to look up to, but it's the one movie of those that I've watched that I actually like. It's miserable and it's so atmospheric, but it doesn't. It's like the one sort of what do they call it when it's like a bad boy, an anti-hero. It's like the one anti-hero movie that I actually felt like the whole time the anti-hero was miserable. Like all the parts of the fun parts of being, because it's about this Cuban guy who comes, played by Al Pacino, who's obviously Italian, doing an incredible Cuban accent. It's just comical the way they have this man speaking in this role, but it's very iconic. And so it's about he comes to America and then he becomes this big gangster guy and then he dies, you know, rags to riches, and then you go too far and you die, whatever. But it, all of the fun parts of that, which are the parts people idolize, like the I'm doing drugs and doing whatever I want and I've got all this money, they just do them in like montages with music. So they like hyper skip over all the cool stuff. And then all of the movie is like all the horrible stuff happening.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this, I thought this was like a very, the atmosphere of the movie is incredible. The whole soundtrack is by that guy who worked with Daft Punk on their album. And it's like a amazing soundtrack.
What year is this movie from?
Maybe like 81, 82.
Okay.
The vibes of the movie are just off the chart. And so I finished watching it and I was like, bravo to them. I love watching an anti-hero movie where the anti-hero is not like idolizable, right?
Right.
Scroll down to read the comments. Every single comment is people going, God, I want to be just like Tony Montana. He's so fucking cool. God,
wait, really?
Every time when I watch this movie. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, we can't have anything. You can't do it. It's impossible.
And he fucking dies in the end?
Yeah, he dies. But you know how those movies are, like the Steve Jobs movie. It's like, it shows him being bad. But then like, he also has all these triumphant moments that are very like, good guy. He made such good phones. Whereas I thought Scarface,
Scarface
undercut
made good
those
phones?
Moments. Scarface made great phones.
What?
So I thought that was kind of funny, but I loved Scarface. I thought it was awesome. The music is insane. So good. And I think Al Pacino's Cuban accent is amazing. I think it's hilarious.
Okay. I do have a list of listener questions. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. We'll just do them until I have to leave, which could be any time now.
Any second.
Probably in the next 20 minutes.
What is the worst movie you've seen that you would watch again?
Oh, man. I don't know that there's that many bad movies that I like. I think, unfortunately, I'm just the kind of person who...
I love bad movies, so this is really a question
movies.
For me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just the kind of person that likes good things and not bad things.
I think it's embarrassing to be that type of person, but unfortunately, at least with movies, mostly I am.
But I'm like famous for having bad taste at this point, so I can answer this. My first answer is a movie called The Velocipastor. Have I told you about this movie?
Wow, is that like one of those movies like Sharknado?
Kind of, yeah, as far as
like,
it's
that type of vibe where they just like mash things together and go,
yeah,
look how crazy
this
is.
It's a bit of a homunculus vibe, you could say.
Ah.
I think I gotta title this episode something about a homunculus now. But
I'd love to kiss a homunculus.
This is an indie film that it is supposed to be funny, and I think in that regard it is actually a good movie. But it's like, you know, like people would very easily call it a bad movie because it's very low budget and
right. It's
very like you know, like it's made by film students or something. I don't know if it was exactly. But, and I'm also a fake fan because now there's a Velocipastor 2 that I still haven't seen. I need to go watch that. I need to see if they've finished it. They did like a Kickstarter for it. And I was like really excited that it was coming out.
Can I ask, is the premise related to Velociraptors and pastors?
Yes. Well, to be honest, I can't exactly recall the plot, but I think that's good because I don't want to do any spoilers. But the main character is a pastor that may or may not have Velociraptor-esque superpowers.
Oh, dino DNA.
And I guess there are ninjas involved, so there might be a cultural insensitivity warning that I have to give with this.
Or is it like that? Remember, who's that lady who sang about ninjas?
I don't know.
You remember that? I want to be ninja.
Right,
you
yes.
remember that song?
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes, is it like, it's that vibe?
It's a little bit of that vibe if I recall, but
okay.
But yeah. I really don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. So, I'll go watch it again and I'll let you know, my racism rating of the movie, but there's just a lot of goofy gags
Hold
that
on.
I really enjoy.
Have you watched it twice?
Oh yeah.
Or just once?
Several
okay,
times.
Okay. Gotcha. I thought
you
were
implying
watched
it in the last like 5 years, probably.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. And I need to watch the sequel, but that one just, it's a good time. It makes me giggle. It's only like an hour long or something. It's not that long.
Do you watch things over and over again a lot? Are you a person who does that?
With certain things, like, yeah. Most
movies,
things,
TV shows, playing the same games again.
If I really, really like it, I'll play it again. With games, I find myself thinking I want to play it again, and then I really only play like the first 20% again, and then I...
Yeah, that's 100%. That's what happens to me with movies, is I'm like, oh, I want to watch that movie again. And then I start it, I'm like, meh.
There are certain movies that I love enough that I do watch repeatedly. Like, my absolute favorite movies, I will watch it again. And then it's fun because you, like, know it so well, and you can pay attention to different things every time, like the sound design and the...
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
You notice little things.
You notice new things every time. But for the most part... Yeah. I'm not, like, always rewatching stuff. Some people will be, like they've been watching The Office for 10 years over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't do that.
I think I went down a rabbit hole this past week where I was watching a lot of episodes of... Have you ever seen that show, The Dog Whisperer? My algorithm started giving me dog training. Apparently, this guy is not to be watched, but...
Oh, a reality show?
He's just, like,
show?
A dog trainer who goes in. Yeah, and he goes, okay. He's like, your dog doesn't know how to behave, and I'll make it behave. I think this person has been discredited as a trainer. I don't really know, but I like going down that... I've watched a lot of those episodes before, and they came up again, so I guess in some sense, I'll rewatch something. Mythbusters.
Have you learned anything that is useful there. For your dog?
Well, we have a dog trainer. Like, we're having a dog trainer come teach us things personally. So, yeah. Mostly from him. But a little bit from the internet, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, mostly he's the one teaching us about... It's a lot of it's energy, you know? Like, if you're anxious, don't bother trying to train because it's not going to work. Like, you have to be chill and in control.
Exactly.
For an animal to really
and
be listening to you.
And unfortunately, I think that's where my awkwardness with dogs comes from, because I am like a little bit awkward and scared in interacting with them, and then that's just
and
like blowing everything. yeah
it's weird, but you know, we're making progress. We got a little sit. We're good at sit, we're good at down, we're working on our stay, and we're working on our not being afraid of shopping carts.
Ooh,
you know, baby steps. All right, hit us with another one.
What is the most unethical thing you would do for money or views?
Let's see.
I mean, this is speedrunning getting canceled right here.
Well,
that's what our podcast
for money,
is about, partially, I think.
It depends on the amount of money. Like, there's not many things that, like, if you talk about, like, promoting, right? Like, there's gambling people and, like, crypto people who come. I don't know that there's that many people who, if, like, a crypto person came to you and was like, we'll give you 200 grand to do an ad read for us. Most people, I feel like, would do that. You know what I mean? It would be hard to say no. One ad read? War Thunder? Give it to me.
Somebody's fishing
just,
in front of us.
It depends on the amount. Yeah, right in between us.
I mean, I feel like, gosh,
I would trespass probably for views.
Right.
It's not
really
unethical necessarily.
Exactly. I'm like, is this, unethical in the eyes of society or somebody else or me? Cause like,
yeah, that's tricky. Cause almost definitionally, if you think it's unethical, you probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you have to think it's ethical to do it, which means you're going to, like, some people would say promoting underpants is unethical. It's like the money and taking it and then people buy it and whatever, like doing any ads is unethical. But obviously I don't think that.
Yeah. I mean,
if I did, I wouldn't do it.
My problem with doing YouTube right now and Twitch and all this stuff that I do is like, I feel like I can kind of spin any of it to be unethical or like, you know, because on some level, it's not fair that I get to do something so fun and sustain myself and whatever while other people have to suffer or whatever. Like, and, you know, not even just with social media, but there's plenty of situations you can be in where you could make that argument that, like, you know, because you have it better than somebody, or like, should you really be spending money on fun things? Or, I mean, because you can spend anything to be like that. So it's hard to know where to draw the line. But anyway, for the question, I mean, I'm trying to think of something fun or funny for this.
All right, I'll throw a couple things out there. Would you punch someone who didn't want to be punched? really hard for $100,000.
Am I then going to get, like, sued by this person? I mean, I have to think about the consequences of my actions.
If you do, you'll be able to afford a lawyer. Oh, you could also split the money with them. You could say, I punch you. They'll go, why did you do that? And you go, here's $90,000. And then they'll be like, oh, sick. Oh, thank you.
I was going to say, I guess, don't know if $100,000 is enough. Because how much could they sue me for punching them, I guess?
It
has to be enough money to cover the lawsuit.
Okay, but there is an amount. There's an amount. We'll get there.
Here's the thing, though. Me punching somebody is not going to do a lot of damage, even if I try as hard as I possibly can. So
$100,000, probably.
So I think
they'd probably take that.
They'd be fine.
Yeah.
And who am I taking the money from? That's another thing you have to consider. Because there's also a way that you can spin the idea of doing brand deals as like, well, isn't this money better in my pocket than the corporation? Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And like, they've got a... I've talked about this, I think, on the pod before, so I'm going to rehash, but it's intentional. I talk about a thing like Patreon versus MeUndies, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of money, and they're willing to give it to me. Why would I not just go, yeah, I'll get that. But instead of taking it from these people, these nice, kind people who are watching my videos, giving me their $3, $5, whatever a month. Yeah. It's like, why not just take this easy money that's sitting there? Now it's complicated because it's part of this big ecosystem. Like, they're not going to give me that money unless my viewers are spending their money on that product. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So ultimately my viewers are still losing money, because if they weren't, I wouldn't be getting paid, but they are getting sick underpants. So it's maybe it's a win-win. But I think about that sometimes. It's like, these brands are just sitting here, loads of money, willing to spend it. Doesn't hurt them at all to spend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it. Give it to me.
It's already, I think it's just one of those things where there's not really a right answer. It just comes down to what you're comfortable with. Because there is also, I think, something kind of wholesome about being viewer supported. Like, you know, in the olden days when people would just pay artists to make stuff.
When are you talking about?
I'm talking about when, like, I mean, like, so Mozart? This is not the same thing, right? Because it's not crowdfunding. But I'm talking about when like a rich person would just like pay a painter to like live in the house.
So you're talking
about
Mozart. Yeah, and there were six painters across all of Europe, and that's the number of people that got to do it. It was like the six people who the church was friends with. That's, I think, is funny that it's like everything that like Mozart and them did was like for money, like explicitly. Obviously, it came from a place of artistic whatever. But like,
I'm just saying, I think there's something wholesome about the idea of like paying for art that you like. So I'm just saying, like, either way, whether you're talking about sponsorships or like crowdfunding or whatever, I think there's reasons to do either or both.
Well, but in the case of the paintings, they were mostly paying for it as propaganda, right? They were like, we need this for the church service on this day, and it needs to portray this as this, like that. Like whenever Mozart was writing all of his, or whoever the fuck wrote all those things. He wrote like 700 songs for every Sunday of Mass for 7 years or something. I don't know. Maybe in like the 1900s, there were people being like, well, no, because that was like Andy Warhol. I don't know. I think all art is good, whether it's made for money or for someone or for no one or for everyone. For the most part, it seems to work out. But yeah, because at that point, would you want to be captured by your audience so much? Maybe you would, but the idea of like, these people are paying me, if I don't do what these people want me to do, I don't get paid. Whereas if I don't do what these people want me to do, MeUndies is still, they'll still pay me because they don't care about the art, which is also cool in a way. It's so complicated.
It is. It is complicated.
You know, I'd kill someone for enough in a video game.
Okay. Well, there
it
is.
I don't know why I said that.
Just volunteered
today,
that.
Like this particular time, I wouldn't do that. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. I really don't.
That's okay. You got to go soon. You're just throwing shit out.